Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread all throughout Judea and the surrounding country. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Sue. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you speak to us in your word, the Bible. Help us now to understand, and more than that, to be thrilled and changed by what we find in it. We ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So there's two processions of people in our Bible reading this morning. Two processions. Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd of Jesus' followers, they're coming into the town of Nain. They're excited about what God's been doing through Jesus. There's going to be a real buzz. You know, there's a buzz around everything that's going on with Jesus. So that's one procession coming into the town. Meanwhile, out of the town gate comes the other procession, a funeral procession, with a dead man being carried out. And there are the bearers carrying his coffin, and there's his mother. And there's a crowd of townspeople supporting her and joining in the mourning. And the atmosphere of this second procession is very different to the first. And the two processions meet. I mean, you can imagine the awkwardness, can't you? Joy and gladness meets mourning and despair. Sometimes you get these really awkward meetings of crowds, don't you? Perhaps you have a demonstration and a counter-demonstration. We've sadly seen a fair bit of that this week. And the main thing is to keep them apart. But it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to keep them apart. One alternative here at Nain would be for the two crowds just to sort of politely ignore each other, go round each other. The mourners go sort of this way. And the excited crowd of Jesus followers sort of come that way, and each tries to pretend that the other doesn't exist. And that's not what happens here either. Instead, they meet. Jesus and his followers meet the funeral procession. And as they meet, Jesus shows both compassion and action, and things get better. And it's a good interaction, actually, for both crowds, I think. This woman, whose son has died, her world has fallen apart. She was a widow already, and now her only son has died as well, and that's her entire safety net gone. In that society, she would have depended first on her husband and then on her son to provide. And now they're both dead, and what's going to happen? And it says, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Just pause for a moment and notice the compassion and the care that Jesus is showing. He's moved by her situation. He understands the implications in her life. He's moved by the situation, and he acts not actually because he wants to make a big fuss and tell everyone, look at me, I'm an amazing miracle worker. He steps in because he's moved, he cares, he has compassion for her, and he reaches out. Jesus reaches out. It says, then he went up and he touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. Jesus stops the procession to the grave. They don't need to go there anymore. They can just stop right here at the gate. Just stop. In their Jewish faith, there was a lot of emphasis on ceremonial rules about what was clean and what was unclean, between what was pure and what was impure. And by touching the coffin, Jesus has made himself ceremonially unclean, impure, kind of outcast in their society and in their rules. Dead bodies were considered unclean. And now by touching the coffin, that impurity now applies to Jesus as well. The perfect Son of God has made himself impure. But he's done this willingly in order to help this man and to help his mother. The story carries on. Jesus said, young man, I say to you, get up. And the dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. And of course, both crowds know that something quite amazing has happened. The crowd had come with Jesus and the crowd who were following the funeral procession. They were all filled with awe and praised God, and that's probably an understatement. But the question for the crowds is, what's it mean? Jesus has raised this young man from the dead, and that's something that just doesn't happen. What's it mean? What's going on? And they start to come up with ideas. A great prophet has appeared among us, they say. And that's absolutely right as far as it goes. Clearly, Jesus is something along the lines of the great prophets of long ago. Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel, one of those sorts of people. People who heard from God and passed on his messages to his people. They probably remembered hearing about when the prophet Elijah raised a widow's son from the dead. And it was a great demonstration of the power of God. And here's Jesus, who's done something very similar to Elijah. And so they say, ah, we know what's going on. A great prophet has appeared among us. Like I say, that is right as far as it goes, but Jesus is more than a prophet. Others of them say, God has come to help his people. And what they mean by that is, God's intervening through this man Jesus. He's intervening to help this young man and his mother. This is a sign of God's favor and God's action in our midst. And they're really warm. In fact, they're right on the money. The truth is even more than they had meant. God hasn't just sort of intervened in his world through sending power to heal and restore this man, though he's clearly done that. God has come in person to live in his world. That's who Jesus is. Jesus, God the Son, perfect God and perfect man. The people say, God has come to help his people. And here God is, standing by this man's coffin and telling him to get up. Over the summer, as Becca said, we're looking at chapters 5 to 8 of Luke's Gospel and seeing how Jesus is good news for everyone, every type of person, every type of situation. The sick, tax collectors and sinners, last week a foreign soldier. Jesus is good news in the face of death. because God has come to help his people. That's what this passage is showing us. Jesus is good news in the face of death, because God has come to help his people. We talked about these two processions that have collided, the procession coming with Jesus and the procession heading to bury this young man. And what happened when these two processions collided? The mourners found their despair turned into joy. Those who came rejoicing had a glimpse into the depth of Jesus' compassion and understanding and the hope he offers. And you pray came out of it with a deeper joy than they had before, because they've seen more of the love of God in Jesus Christ. And everyone, whichever procession they came in, has had an amazing pointer to who this Jesus is and why he's come and why he matters. There's actually more to this Bible reading than we've seen. This is a wonderful miracle that Jesus did for these people. But I think it's more than that. I think it's also a picture of what's to come in Jesus' death and resurrection. I think there are hints of that here. In this Bible reading, this woman's world, as we said, has fallen apart. Her world has just fallen apart. Everything she relied on for her security has failed her. But our world's falling apart too, because of wrong things that we do and think and say, and that other people do and think and say too. There's a brokenness to the world and to ourselves that we call sin. And seeing the brokenness, seeing how the world is falling apart, Jesus responds with both action and compassion. He doesn't just come and sort of obliterate everything that's wrong with the world, because actually, that will be the end of us all. Rather, just like in our reading, Jesus stops the procession to the grave. Humanly speaking, death seems like the end. It seems like the place to which we must all inevitably go and remain. The wrong we've done, the wrong other people have done, demands punishment. It's kind of like a stain on us that we can't erase. You know how you get a stain on a garment? You've been eating something with a really strong color and it's got on your shirt and you just cannot get it out. You try every washing powder and every stain removal trick you can find and it will not come out. And we despair of ever getting it clean again. And in our lives, we easily think death is the inevitable end and consequence of what we've done wrong. And it is coming to us all. But beyond that, there's hope. Jesus stops us in our tracks on the way to death. He says that death is not the inevitable end beyond which there is no hope. Jesus steps in. He will intervene. He stands and tells them, stop here. In the scene of the town gate at Nain, Jesus touched the coffin. He made himself unclean and impure and outcast so that the young man could be healed and restored. And a few short years later, when Jesus was himself put to death on that cross, he took on himself all the punishment and all the shame and the disgrace that each of us deserved. He took all that wrongdoing and brokenness and all of it transferred onto him instead of us. All of it transferred from us onto him, so that his record of goodness and justice and righteousness could be counted as ours instead, and so that we could receive from God new life and restoration and healing. And I think that is what this reading is also gloriously giving us hints of. Jesus is good news. He's good news even in the face of death itself. Because God has come to help his people. He's come in ways beyond anything that we could imagine or hope for. Amen.